Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with hedgers and speculators, anything from online trading, broker-assisted, and hybrid, which is a very popular service level over here. You can find out more about me at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. I produce this podcast. I also write a newsletter called Turner's Take. If you'd like to check out the newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com and request more information and check it out. Or you can receive it by texting number 33777. So 33777 with the message Turner, my last name, and you can take a look at the newsletter. If you do like this podcast, would appreciate a positive review on iTunes. And if you don't know who likes the newsletter or the podcast, please send it along. And finally, if you're interested and want to know what it would be like to work with me, feel free to contact me. All my contact information is in the show notes. My number is 312-706-7610. And as always, clients, if you've been active or not for a while, or you want to do more and you like what you hear, give me a call, shoot me an email. We will figure some stuff out on the spec hedge marketing side of these markets. Alrighty, so let's jump into it. We got the Friday afternoon. It's been a busy week. The big news today was that unemployment report. We had come in at about 15% unemployment from last month, and 15 million jobless, and it was interesting, like the Wall Street was looking for maybe a loss of 8 million jobs and unemployment around 20%, and instead we added 2.5 million jobs, and unemployment went down to like 13 or 13.5%. Not great, you know, when you think of the, you know, historically, but a whole lot better in, based on expectations. So when that was like a 10 million job swing and, you know, 7 percentage point on the unemployment swing between expectations and what we got. So, number one, the economy has bottomed. Now, how far we go from here remains to be seen, but the economy has bottomed. Number two, when you dive into the numbers, you take a look at, you know, what jobs are coming back. Anything that was on furlough counted as temporary unemployment. So as people came off of furlough, they went back in the job force. So that was a bump. There were certain industries, like the dentists, like they had a shutdown for, I want to say, 45 or 60 days. So during, you know, if they were shut down for April and came back in May, those would have been jobs added. So there are things like that that made the report a little bit better, where it was really just more people coming back to the workforce that had a temporary come out. So, you know, some of the service level, you know, restaurants and more of on the retail side, especially like local and service level and person-to-person contact, we'll see how that comes back. But I think overall it's got to be a good sign. So, you know, today after that report came out, we saw some big gains in, you know, the crude oil market was strong, the stock market was strong, a lot of the commodity markets looked good, or at least had some kind of bullish momentum. The interest rates will probably be allowed to go higher now, so bonds should come down. Gold had a tough time today, which, not surprised given that report and the change in the sentiment. So, let's, from a macro perspective, I still like crude oil, and I still like being long the stock market. The thing is, like, there's two types. I always think of, there's three types of traders. There's day trading, which really don't get into on this podcast. or in my newsletter. Then there's the swing, you know, kind of the swing to position trader, where, and then you finally have the position trader. If you're the position trader or the investor, then I'd probably hold crude in the E-mini S&P, you know, for a while here. But if you're more of a swing trader slash position trader, and those guys, those traders tend to trade around positions. Like, they'll have their core position. If you get the big dips, they may buy some. And then if you get the big rallies, they may say a little bit. Always keeping that core position, but trading around. Like, you know, adding on in the dips and selling into the rallies with maybe the other part of the position. I can see taking a little bit of profit here in the S&P and crude on this run-up. I mean, still keeping that core position. But if you've been buying on the dips, this would be a time to be selling a little bit on the rallies. So that is, but I do like it. I wouldn't, and be honest with you, if you do sell a little bit on the dips here, I'm sorry, sell a little bit on the rallies here, I would be buying the dips. I think, you know, crude could be in the mid to high 40s by the end of the year, or maybe the first quarter of 2021. And the S&P, it will have its dips. It will have its disappointments. But here's the thing with the S&P. The S&P is not a reflection, direct correlation of what's going on in the economy. At first, it is when these market tanks. And sometimes, actually, the stock market can go down farther than what's actually going on in the economy. The thing is, what you need to remember, and I've talked about this plenty of times over the years on this podcast, is that the stock market is, you know, run by executives, and their job is to minimize losses and maximize profits in any kind of environment. So if the environment is what it is now, they'll do like the furlough thing, you know, where, you know, they'll cut back on capital expenditures. You know, maybe they'll streamline businesses, like, you know, they'll cut hours but still be productive. You know, they'll do what they need to do to either make the loss as small as possible or figure out a way to turn a profit in the business. You can't always do that in the economy. You know, that's a little bit more organic on how that works. But on a company, you can streamline things. You can cut costs. You can focus just maybe on your core competencies, whatever. Or maybe you hold back on capital expenditures and investments, you know, in capital for the next 6 months, whatever it may be, right? So the stock market is a lot more flexible and go up higher. What's also interesting about the stock market, it's usually the cash market, not the futures, but the cash market on the stocks, like, you know, what trades in your stock exchange, typically is like 85% long, meaning that there's only a 15% short interest in the stock market, which is different than futures and commodities, where for every long there's a short, just like in options, whether it's options on stocks or options on commodities, for every long there's a short. And even something like, let's say, corn, we produce 15 billion bushels of corn each year. You know, we pretty much use up 15 bushels, you know, billion bushels of corn each year. Maybe have a carryover of a billion or 2 billion from year to year, but we pretty much use what we have. You know, the stock market really isn't really built that way. It's actually built to appreciate, you know, with dividends and earnings and counterinflation and stuff like that. So anyways, Tim, I never love shorting the stock market, and I don't mind being in it longer term. I actually like trading around it, having the core position and then being in and out. Buying the dips and selling the rallies. And I think it works the best with the E-mini S&P futures. And if that margin and fluctuation is a little bit too big for you, the micro E-mini S&P, which is a tenth the size of the mini, actually is kind of the everyman's contract in the stock market future. So I really like that too. So that's where we are. Long story short, I still like the stocks, the futures, and I still like crude, but I do think you have to respect this rally and either take off a little bit and maybe keep that core position, maybe buy a little bit on the next break. Let's turn it over to, I'll quickly go into livestock. I still like live cattle in December under 100. I still like December lean hogs under 50. We did trade there this week a little bit in the hog market, so that was nice. I saw some fills like at 49, 97 and a half, stuff like that. I thought that was good. Did not break below 100 this week in live cattle. Bean oil. I still like bean oil. I sent that out to my client list and through the texting service for my clients here. So we still like the bean oil. I was going back and forth of it. There was a report out of India saying they were buying less of it in May, but that seems like that was more short term. And then after seeing what happened with the jobs report, I'm kind of thinking the bean oil demand that we may have lost in India in May may be more of a blip, because it had to do with COVID and basically the shutdowns. You know, there wasn't as much demand for a lot of things in India during May. So, and they buy a lot of palm oil, which translates into bean oil demand. So the idea on bean oil is still the same. One, vegetable oil, probably in a 4 or 5 year low on stocks. They're not, I wouldn't call it tight, but they've probably got one of the more bullish stories of the grain markets here. I like bean oil because very few processors will actually crush beans for oil. They always crush beans for meal, and if there's not a huge demand for the meal, the bean oil supply can sometimes stay artificially tight when it doesn't need to. And this rally in crude, I mean, don't forget about the biodiesel component. So I'm going to stick with bean oil here. And I was wavering a little bit in the newsletter, but I'm going to stick with it here. Let's see what happens. Technically, it looks pretty good. I had been liking one soybean versus two corn. I'm going to send an email out about that, either getting out completely or adjusting one of the legs, taking profits on one of them and taking the other one off. But I will, I'll email through Turner's Take and send a text out about that. We'll see what happens next week. The gold market had a real tough one today. I want to say gold was down 40, but let me see here. Bring up, 38. $38 to $40 today on the gold market. And here's the thing, if the market's going up, if there's not, because here's the thing, when the unemployment numbers went up and the stock market's going up and the economy's turning around, if you're in the government and you're not one who likes to, let's say you're not one to, only having to do stimulus if you absolutely have to, let's put it that way, maybe this is a indication that maybe you don't need as much stimulus or stimulus at all. Or maybe it can be, in different places or really just not much of it, right? So one of the reasons for buying the gold was the stimulus, the quantitative easing, from the Fed and everything like that. So if the stock market's going higher and the economy's getting bigger and we need less stimulus, or the government deems that we need less stimulus, gold's coming down. It's also for the rates, too. That means interest rates would be bottoming out and starting to go back up. And when interest rates go up, bonds and notes should be coming down. So that looks like a trend. If we're really in an economic recovery here, and this is going to be continuing the trend, you would think stock market continues to go up, crude oil continues to go up, see support in the commodities overall, gold coming down, rates coming down, and that looks like the landscape going forward. The only thing I'm not as, I think corn ends up trading on its own fundamentals, probably wheat too, and then China has a big say in the whole soybean thing. So let's move on over to the grain markets, and which will be the last segment of this podcast. So I have liked soybeans here for the past 20 or 30 cents, and we're getting to a point where, November was like in the low 880s today, and I was saying before, like the target, it was this area between like 870 and 890, and here we are. And do I still like soybeans? A little bit, not as much as I did. We still going to have a lot of soybeans. We're going to plant a lot of soybeans. Acres are probably going to increase a little bit. The good to excellent ratings are very good for soybeans. They'll probably improve on Monday. So I'm not worried about lower than a trend line crop. You know, if we're at a 50 BPA national average, it's not going to shock me. And then you got to ask yourself, okay, we had an okay carryout, 400 to 500 million on the carry in from the old crop. And we'll probably use as much as we produce, so we're going to still be around a 500 million carryout. You know, I mean, high eights, low nines, mid eights on the harvest lows kind of sounds right to me when we're talking about carryouts of about 500. So as we get into the last couple of weeks in June, and keep this in mind too, like corn usually peaks in a normal year in the middle of June, like second to third week of June, and maybe soybeans a little bit later, a couple weeks later, usually by late June, early July. So I don't, you know, there's no threat of drought, it seems like. There's plenty of soil moisture. The crop has gotten off to a really good start. I'm sure there'll be some prevent plant in less acres, probably like North Dakota or something like that. But for the most part, a lot of the grain, you know, a lot of this grain's getting planted. So we'll have to see what the WASDE says, and we'll see what prevent plant is. But I don't see any shortage of the soybean market here. So as we get closer to nine, my gut is saying should probably look to get out of the beans. Plus, we're already long bean oil, so maybe we can just take profits on beans. Whether or not we take off the corn, I don't know, because we've been long one soybean and short two corn. I don't know. You know, historically, corn would probably make its seasonal high sometime next week or in the next 10 days, right? So, I don't know. Maybe you lift one and keep the other one on. We'll have to, we'll make that decision next week, though, so stay tuned for that. Wheat market. Wheat's been interesting. So it had the big rally. So when it had the big rally this week, Russian wheat prices were really firm. Russia's had these quotas on old crop, and then the idea was would they continue with new crop. You know, the way their system's set up is this. Basically make as much wheat available as possible domestically, even at lower prices than maybe what the market would normally have it, because no one, you know, Russia doesn't want to have high food cost inflation over there. And they'll do it at the expense of, like, exports and how much export prices are. So sometimes you can see exports where wheat prices gain because of what's going on in Russia. Also, the weather in the western part of the Midwest, Western Corn Belt, whatever you want to call it, hard red wheat country, hasn't been great. Their drought is a concern over there for some of the wheat area, so there probably will be a lower hard red winter wheat crop. It doesn't look like corn and soybeans are going to be affected that much, and quite honestly, the weather for the next 2 weeks, you know, hot and dry, probably be good for growth and development, as long as they get some timely rains here and there, where the wheat market probably could, probably could use a little bit more rain over there. The thing with wheat, though, is you really just need one good rain over the next month or two, and it probably pretty much saves a crop. So odds are that happens at some point. It usually does. I would expect Kansas City to continue to gain on Chicago wheat, though, and that is a spread that we do trade and follow here. In terms of corn, we're gonna end this on corn. So I like selling into the rallies on corn if our overall fundamental view on corn is bearish, right? So do we have a lot of corn around the world, and are we going to have a lot of corn in the United States? I take a look at our projections, at the balance sheets, and it says, yes, we probably are, right? So then this is a bullish time of year. And if you're a short-term trader and you've been long, that's great. And my business is focused a little bit more on the hedging side sometimes, especially when it comes to corn and soybeans, right? The other market, you know, so I'm usually looking to sell into the rallies just because I don't see enough of it in the industry as a whole. So we've been selling corn into this rally. Going to bring up a hypothetical here, but it's something that if you're a farmer or a producer, and you can even use this as a spec trade, but over the next 10 days, let's say we do have regular normal weather, you know, for the somewhat normal, whatever you want to call normal, in the United States, where there's no drought and we're close to trend lines in the corn production, what's going to happen with corn prices? Well, you would think we'd be hitting harvest on the futures around 3 if we're going to be over a 3 billion carryout, right? And if we're some places, some of the very well-respected analysts think we could be 3.5 to 4 billion carryout. And in that case, then we're getting down to, you know, the high 2s, which sounds crazy. But, you know, if these corn is going to be trading in the 330s and 340s, and someone can make the argument, is there 30 to 50 cents of weather premium built in the market? You know, maybe that is a possibility. So here's the thing. Let's say you sold December corn at 345, which is around where it is now. And you said, you know, and sometimes we'll do OTC. I don't know if I heard Daniel's Trading and Global Asset Advisors, which is our parent company, was recently acquired by FC Stone. So we'll be part of FC Stone, which is actually really exciting. One of the things we'll be able to offer is OTC contracts, and a lot of the farmers out there, you may have heard of double ups and, you know, and mimicking hedge to arrives and a lot of other, like, different contracts that you can use. One of them, like, you know, the accumulator or accumulator with a double up, which is one kind of popular one, is, you know, the futures way of doing that is selling the corn at 345 and then writing a call, you know, for, let's say, 15 cents at 360. So let's say I did that. Like, I sold corn, let's say, 5% of my production on the futures at 345. And then I wrote a call for that same 5% of production. It's called 5,000 bushels at 360 and collected 15 cents. Well, I can take that 15 cents and add it to the 345 sale. And if that call expires worthless, I've now sold 5,000 bushels at 360, right? Because I sold at 345 and collected the 15. If we do go up to 360 and higher, I've now sold 2 bushels at 360 because I collected the 15 cents, but I'm also now short this call from 360 too. So I'm 360 also. So now I'm short 10,000 bushels, you know, from 360, which is how those things work. And then if you have a knockout on it, you know, you can always sell a put to kind of help inflate the price on the upside. But the problem with selling the put is if it goes down too far, you get knocked out of it, right? So it's all about margin and cost and how much you want to add of your prices to the upside. So that's the... That was the idea I've been kicking around. So if you had 345 corn and you sold a call on it for 15 cents, that could bring up that sales price to 360. And let's say we do go to we go into the low threes in these corn and we do have over 3 billion carryout. Well, if you're going to store that corn in your on-farm storage, let's say until the end of June, you can then roll your short these futures into July. And I would think these July, right now the carry is 23. I would think by November we'd be closer to 30 or higher. And if it is, let's say it is 30, I would not be surprised at all if it was. Then when you roll from these to July, your sale at 360 has now become 390. So all of a sudden the farmer on the board, by using that strategy between now and the end of next June, on paper, on the board, would have a sale at 390. Now, the cash is the cash, and there's nothing I can do about it. But that's a pretty sophisticated way, I think, to get those kind of prices. When you do work with, you can do that in the futures market and use your own margin, and something that we'll be offering soon, the OTC and structured product markets. Probably could wrap that all into one or two products for the farmer. So if you are interested in OTC, if you've done the accumulators and the double ups and stuff like that, and we can figure out ways to do HTAs and stuff like that, let me know. That's something that we really haven't used in the past because it just isn't available to us. But now that it is, what we're going to end up doing is is putting some of these OTC products in place. And then if we are, what we'll do is maybe use the futures markets to kind of trade around some of these products too. Now you can do it right on the futures market. Probably saves you some money. Probably costs less because you don't. But because the OTC products are financed on your behalf, so you don't have the cost of money. But if you do have the ability to fund and have the margin available, then you're really better off doing it in the futures market. So, anyways, if you have any questions about that, let me know. I'm happy to talk to everyone or anyone about it and how to use either the futures market, the cash market, the OTC market for some of these products. But I do think, even if it's just your access to the futures market here, there is a way to get, you know, basically new crop corn at 390 right now. I think there is anyway. So, again, give me a call. My number at Daniels is 312-706-7610. If you like this podcast, please go to iTunes, give it a review, or send it along to someone who you think might like it. If you want to know what it's like to work with me, all my contact information is in the show notes, and if you get the newsletter, I have links about that too. Clients who want to do more of these things are interested in it, please get in touch. You can give me a call on my cell or my work phone. Have a great week, everyone. It looks like it's about a little after 3 on a Friday afternoon, and hopefully we'll be talking to you next week. All right, good luck, everyone.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.